Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Brewcast and welcome into officially Rivalry Week here on Brewcast. Looking forward to it. Luke Yardy back here with you and joined as always by Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani. We've got a full show of stuff to get to today. Obviously, a lot to talk about with Michigan basketball right now, sitting atop the Big Ten standings and a huge showdown looming with Michigan State on Sunday. We're going to get to your questions in this show that you sent us on the Maize and Brew Twitter page, and we're going to have some fun with this one. Maybe talk a little football spring game. Time and date was announced. But before we get to all that, got to welcome in my co-hosts, Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani. Guys, how are you today?
I thought the big game you were referring to was the rematch with Minnesota after the buzzer beater from earlier in Big Ten play. It's not that?
Quick question. When that happened, like, were you guys excited? I was just like, I don't think I like even moved or blinked or anything like that when Charles Matthews hit that shot, because It felt so bad to be in that situation that it was more like maybe a little relief than it was excitement.
Relief, yeah, is the right way to put it. I was working it, so it was just kind of like, you know, okay, cool, I can post the game recap now. But that was a game too where, like, and even this Maryland game from over the weekend that we'll talk about here, like, it never, that was another one of those games where it never really felt like the game was in doubt. I always just kind of felt Michigan was going to win it. And then, you know, even if they would have gone to overtime, but then Charles Matthews hits the buzzer beater. That was really one of the last times we had heard from him until, you know, last few games. So maybe everything's coming full circle here now. Who knows? But we have a good weekend. You guys good on that end? Everything all right?
It was fine on my part. Nice to talk to you guys again. I mean, it's been I would say I feel like we've been saying this, or at least I've been saying this a lot, but I mean, you could, in a weird way, it's almost as if Michigan season starts this week. I mean, the Big Ten standings are what they are. They're the exact same as they were. You're essentially starting back at zero now. I mean, Michigan and Michigan State tied atop the Big Ten. You have, it is the biggest week of the season, and not just because of the Michigan State game, but because you have to go to the barn to play a tough Minnesota team that Michigan had trouble with the first time around. So, you know, good weekend. Glad to see Michigan bounce back. Obviously, we're going to talk about both the games that they played this last week. But, yeah, things are really heating up, and in a big way, and it's gonna start this Thursday.
Yeah, I think it kind of speaks to, like, the state of the program right now where, and this, it's not quite to this extent that I'm about to bring up, but, like, there are a lot of New England Patriots fans out there that say, like, oh, our season doesn't even start till, you know, the AFC championship game. And we're like, we're not that late in the game here with basketball, but we're at the point in Big Ten play now where it's like, all right, yeah, you're 23-3. Everything's great right now, but haven't done anything yet. And you've got some really important games coming up. So, yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. I know a lot of people are sort of nervous with how Michigan's played lately. I still think they're searching for, I mean, I'll save most of those takes for what we talk about. But overall, after how the week started, it was a much better end to the week. And I think maybe a little bit of a better ending to the week than and some people may have
felt. I'm
going to
be honest. Like, I was so disappointed after Penn State. Like, I get it. It's really hard to win on the road in the Big Ten. But at this stage in the game, you can't go out, you know, without. No, you can't lose that game. You can't lose that game.
You can't lose that game. You just can't. There's no justification. There's no, oh, well, every game in this conference is tough, and you can't. Like, that is a loss that very well could hurt them, especially if they split against Michigan State or, you know, go back to Maryland or go to Maryland and lose that game. Let's run through the Big Ten standings here real quick. Obviously, Michigan's at the top of it right now, 12-3. Michigan State right up there with them at 12-3. The new AP poll, say that five times fast, is out. Michigan's at number 7. Michigan State is number 10. So those are the numbers that'll be next to their names when this game happens on Sunday. Right there, Purdue is right there below them, half game out at 11-3. Big win for Michigan in terms of getting a nice, you know, putting Maryland two games back. They're right there at 10-5. I feel like right now, two games at this part of the Big Ten slate. It's probably a little bit much to overcome. So I think right now we're looking at a three-horse race with
Purdue's just licking their chops, man, knowing that Michigan and Michigan State have to play twice. They're like, you guys are just going to kill each other and we'll be the last one standing, you know?
Isn't that crazy that Michigan absolutely pulled their pants down back in December when conference play started, which is still weird. And then at the end of all this, they're the team that might be sitting there. Like, that's the other one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where that Penn State loss hurts again. Like, the only thing it really hurts is the Big Ten regular season title, which, I mean, is what it is. I'd rather win the Big Ten tournament, to be honest with you. But hey, we'll get into that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with both of you. I think that the Penn State game was a brutal loss, obviously, because of who they played and the quality of the opponent. But it just sucked because that was really an opportunity for them to, as far as Purdue goes, gain a game and keep pace as far as Michigan State is concerned. Purdue losing that same night to Maryland, Michigan State taking care of business on the road against Wisconsin in a game I wasn't sure that they would win. And it made that loss by Michigan that much more worse, knowing that if they win that game, I think we're a lot more comfortable right now than we were a week ago at this time. They came out just kind of getting into it now. They came out and played completely flat in the first half, zero energy. They seemed completely thrown off by Penn State's press early on in the game. Offense, even throughout the game, even when they made their comeback, the offense never really had much of a rhythm going. It was shocking just how poorly they played, because it wasn't one of those games that happens where you go on the road and you play a team that just hits just all their shots and gets really hot. I mean, Penn State played a really good game, a game they deserved to win, but it wasn't an immaculate effort. Michigan just made so many mistakes, breakdowns on both sides of the ball. Is that how you say it in basketball, by the way? Both sides of the ball?
Both sides of the court, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know.
Both sides of the court. Okay, yeah, breakdowns of both sides of the court. And as valiant as that comeback effort is, they fell short. And I brought this up last week about Michigan State's loss to Indiana, how that's a game that you look back on if you finish, you know, tied or you finish one game back in the Big Ten standings and say that's the one that we wish we could have back. I feel like this Penn State game is gonna be like that as well, because I don't think Michigan really is gonna slip up like that again, and the quality of their opponents the rest of the way are pretty legit for the most part. So yeah, that's brutal. They bounced back for the most part on Saturday against Maryland, They got off to a quick start in that game, but you know, we'll talk about that in a second. I just that's kind of my assessment of the last week.
I think it was a great comeback the way they played Saturday. You had to come out with fire, you know, if you were Michigan, and they did just that. They were up 10-2. Obviously, there's some cause for concerns a little bit with the stagnant offense at times during games, but I mean their defense is good enough to where you can, where if they get a lead like that, the chance of you coming back on them, it really is pretty slim. You know, Minnesota was probably the closest to do it on the year, to be honest.
Yeah, at one point in the first half of that game against Maryland, jumping ahead now, and was with about 9 minutes, I think it was 9 or 10 minutes left in the first half, Michigan was up 21-6 and absolutely rolling. And then the score at the half was, I believe, 27-18 or something along those lines. Like, amazing defensive performance, but they could only muster 6 points in 10 minutes of basketball. And going back to that, the Penn State game, just briefly here, that was, you know, I've talked about before on here how I wanted to, you know, we've wanted to see how Michigan would look in the losses they'd had. That was a game where it just goes to show, like, when they play bad basketball, really bad basketball, they could lose to anybody. So, and on that same token, like, it was a little, I don't want to throw the Duke comparisons out there and things like that, cause there's a lot of stuff going on. But like that same night, as me and Sam were doing the post game podcast and all that, Duke is coming back from 20 points down on the road at Louisville. I just absolutely throttles Louisville in the second half to work their way all the way back. Like, that's a team that we've seen a lot of these talented teams with one and done kids just kind of like never quite put it together. But that Duke team has championship DNA. The concern for me right now is that this Michigan team doesn't have that championship gear quite yet. And they need to get it because obviously the games coming up are pretty big. But as far as the response goes, you know, nice gutty win. Another really good outing from Charles Matthews, Chris's godson. So it's just it's funny how the narratives can change in just a couple of games, because he was a guy who was getting, you know, there's a lot of Michigan guys that have struggled. Like this, the sample size is large enough now where we can just say this isn't just not a good shooting team. It's not like it's. This isn't the Beeline team.
That's the concern.
Yeah.
That is where the concern is.
Yeah. This is not a good shooting team. And I don't think they're going to be. I think they are going to be a little bit better here. I think Water can find its level. But Charles Matthews, it's funny. Yeah. He goes from basically a pariah in a week to being the guy who's setting the tone offensively. I think that the new kind of whipping boy, so to speak, is Jordan Poole, who. Right now, like he just looks broken, man. Like he is as broken as it gets. I have some stats here that I did. Hey, I did math over the weekend. How about that? Shout out me. Jordan Poole in his last 11 games is 41 for 116 from the floor. That's 35%. And he's 17 for 64, 26% from three. We know.
This is not good.
We know how talented he is. And he is a guy that. When he's on, he is their shooter. Like he is their best outside threat. You know, the big, the guy, you know, that's the guy. Despite all of that, like he's the guy who at the end of the game, I want him taking that last shot, like the Houston game from the tournament last year. But it's not just that he's struggling. I think that he's pressing right now too. I mean, you look at him play and he just looks unsure of himself. He hesitates. He's taken NBA distance three pointers. Like, buddy, you're not Steph Curry. You're not Klay Thompson. Like, and I think that there's been a little bit of an effort to get him some easier hoops, because I think that a lot of times you just need to see it's like, you know, when a guy in baseball is in a slump and, you know, maybe you make hard contact, but you hit it right to the third baseman. Like you need to get him, you get some better looks and you feel good about yourself. But right now it's just, it's, quite frankly, a little bit of a disaster. And we know, I still feel like at some point he's going to bounce back in a big way when it matters most. I think it's very beneficial to them that they're going to get like 4 or 5 days off here now before they go play at Minnesota. And mind you, it's a quick turnaround to play against Michigan State. But I feel like we're on the cusp of him maybe breaking out. I think I need to see a game with some evidence of him turning the corner, but right now he just looks unsure of himself and he's not quite that same guy right now. Hasn't played well in 11 or 12 games.
No, I'm with you. I did see just a little bit, him looking a little bit better in the second half against Maryland. He didn't do anything amazing, but he seemed a little bit more comfortable with the ball in his hands. He wasn't really forcing shots. It could be the start of something. You know, sometimes to go back to your baseball analogy, to break out of a slump, sometimes all it takes is an infield single. And before that, you're hitting home runs. And I think Poole is, I'm not even saying he's the best player on this team because he hasn't played like it, but I think if there's one guy in this team that's capable of going for 30 in a game, I would say it's him just because of how streaky he is. He's almost, not quite as annoying, but almost starting to remind me a little bit of what Zach Ervin was like at points in his tenure, where he would go long stretches where he would just force shots and he would look lost. And then he would have a game where he would be clutch. He would drive to the basket. He would hit mid-range shots. He'd hit threes. I think Poole can still be that guy. I think Brodzdakis is still struggling a little bit with pressing as well. Well, he had his moments against Maryland. He goes away for long stretches. He played horrible against Penn State. I think one guy, the guy who I think is going to be the X factor for this team going forward, along with Charles Matthews, is Isaiah Livers. Isaiah Livers, man, it is a lot of people talk about John Teske, and yes, John Teske probably is the most improved player on this basketball team, but to me, Isaiah Livers' growth as a defender has been extremely impressive. And I think if things continue the way they have been, with Poole struggling, with Brodzdakis struggling, that knowing that you have a guy who for most teams is capable of starting, and on most teams would probably be a guy who would be a go-to guy who puts up 10 to 15 a night coming off the bench, I think it is a huge benefit. And he's no longer, I don't even know if he ever was, but he has definitely developed into a plus defender as well. And I think he's one of those players who's done a lot of little things this year, even when he hasn't been scoring, that have gone unnoticed. And I think he's going to be a key to this team's success.
I just think
forward.
It needs to, coming up on Thursday, man, the one thing I'm worried about is looking ahead to Sunday for these guys. Obviously, it's a huge game on Sunday. You're probably competing for a regular season Big Ten championship, but at least, you know, keeping yourself in that race, you know, with Purdue right there too. But going into the barn, going to Minnesota, Minnesota teams, that's going to come out with some confidence because they think if they had a couple extra minutes, they probably could have beat you. They probably think if that game goes to overtime, they win against Michigan on the road. So you can't look past this game. Every game counts down the stretch here, and you're really building for another run, you know, for another Big Ten tournament run and for another run in the NCAA tournament. Like, this team hasn't found their stride yet. Yeah. Like, I'm worried that their stride was North Carolina and Villanova and Purdue, and then things started to change a little bit when they went on the road to Northwestern. Like, I'm worried that other teams have caught up and maybe even surpassed Michigan, you know, at the top tier in college basketball and on the landscape. So they have to try and find their stride a little bit. And like you said, Anthony, they're just not a good three-point shooting team. I mean, they're 171st in the country in three-point percentage, and that's just the way it's going to be from now on. They're not going to magically start hitting shots, you know, regularly. They don't have a ton of good shooters, which is unlike a John Beilein team, but that's just kind of the way it is moving forward. So there is a cause for concern there, but at the same time, defensively, hard to imagine if they come out and play like they want to defend, like a Penn State game won't happen. It really just felt like they were not in that game mentally from the very start.
I would agree with that. And I think that while offensively, I don't think that anyone will say that the Maryland game was a good showing by any stretch. But I will say early on in that game, it's pretty apparent to me that this team is just going to be better if they're able to get out and run, because their half court offense and their outside shooting is a disaster right now. And John Beilein, I thought this was interesting after the game, even admitted that if he could go back to the summertime or to training camp when they were working on things and developing, he wishes that he would have put more of an emphasis on the transition offense, because he said they just haven't been good there. And that's his biggest regret right now. So he hammered that hard after the Penn State game. We saw obviously flashes, definitely a step in the right direction there. He said that, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, the running those 3-man weave drills and knowing where guys are going to be and getting out. And because I think that this team has the ability to make up for their lack of the outside shooting with their athleticism, because at all five positions in their starting lineup, I feel like they're at least better than average athletically speaking, mm-hmm. Things like that. And I almost wonder, I know we're still waiting on, well, I'll address Minnesota first. Let's just say this. I will be very concerned if they come out and I'll just say even struggle in that game. If they struggle, definitely if they lose, I'm going to be very worried, because it's too late in the, you know, we're in late February now. By the time they play this game, it'll be February 21st. It's too late in the game now to do the one step forward, two steps back type deal. Not with what's still on the line, mm-hmm. not with two more games against Michigan mm-hmm. State, not with, you know, Purdue nipping at their heels. Like if this is a good team and a championship caliber team, this needs to be a turning point. Penn State needs to be the turning point for them.
And I mean, just take a look back to last year when Michigan started to hit their stride. It was, they didn't lose a game from February 11th to April 12th.
And they still haven't lost two games in a row since then either, which is very impressive.
Right. So they still have, because where do we stand today? The 18th today. So it's like they haven't, like if that last loss is Northwestern, if they start to find their stride like last year, they're going to be just fine. It's just this Minnesota game, like you said, Anthony, is going to say a lot. And one thing I wanted to mention that it's been stuck with me for quite a while when I watch Michigan shoot. So I don't remember which game it was, but they did a feature on Michigan like practices, and the fact that they use they have these like machines installed in the practice facility that judges the arc of each shot that a player takes, and they kind of tinker with like the arc even in season. And I'm going to be honest, at the time I was like, ooh, I don't know about that. And then after seeing it, like, I really do not like that. You know, if you've ever hooped, like, it is, you don't want anyone tinkering with your shot, at least when the games are going on. You know, the time for that is in the off season. And maybe it's had an effect on like Xavier Simpson and his free throw shooting a little bit, because he does have an uptick in that. But as a net, it's kind of looking like a net negative, because this was a decent shooting team early on in the year, and it feels like they've just gotten progressively worse at shooting the basketball. I just don't like the fact that they like tinker with the jump shots with this arc measurer thing, like even in midseason. I feel like that's been a net negative and part of the reason Michigan has some shooting lows.
Yeah, I'd have to look more into that before I can give like, a verdict on that officially. But I will say, a lot of the shots that they took on Saturday looked flat. And John Teske especially, but some of the other guys, Jordan Poole, Simpson once or twice, even Brad Dacus. Did you notice
it was all of
their missed threes
bad for Teske.
Were mm-hmm. short? It was Teske had about... Teske had about six or seven that were short. Poole had a few that were short. Coincidence? Is it nerves? Is it a mental thing? Are they pressing? I don't know, but that was very, very. It's strange to me, and it's very weird for a team this talented to be missing shots that badly and that short. But I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I think we all agree that this isn't a good, it's definitely not a great, you could probably argue it's not even a good shooting team, baseball. I think we all agree that they're better than the arc they have been. Like they're shooters.
I'm not 100% sure how that works, but I will say that knowing what I know about John Beilein and his coaching staff, if something's not working and they need to rep something differently, or like they're going to scrap it. Like if there's enough evidence there that, hey, hell, this just isn't going to work, that they won't continue doing that. So if there's an issue like that, yeah, I can see that being corrected. I almost wonder, I know we talk about this team hitting that, you know, we want to see them hit their stride. Maybe they don't even hit their stride before the end of the Big Ten regular season. I almost wonder if getting back to, obviously there were extenuating circumstances around the, you know, a couple years ago with the plane situation and getting rolling in the Big Ten tournament. I almost wonder if just playing a couple games in a row and maybe that's going to be what they need as a springboard in the tournament. Like, I don't know, maybe losing the Big Ten title in the regular season, like maybe that might be a spark for the postseason. I don't know. But right now, I mean, it's the arrow is back to pointing slightly upward. I still think one of the comparisons I made after that Penn State game felt a lot like, and obviously we know how it ended with, you know, 2016 football season when Michigan goes to Iowa and loses. Like, that didn't crush their chances at a Big Ten title, but it shrunk the hell out of their margin for error. And that's kind of where they're at right now. So hopefully the basketball team is able to pull out better than football. But that's kind of the vibe I got from that loss. So disappointing. Like I said, nice win over Maryland. That is a very good team. Bruno Fernando is terrifying as hell.
He's a stud. He's a stud.
Dude, that is a good team, man. And I really like that team a lot. And usually, I haven't been a huge fan of Maryland basketball since they've joined the Big Ten. I found that team that had Melo Tremble to be just a really one-on-one, not very well, didn't necessarily gel as a unit type of basketball team. I think that's a team that could go on a run like deep into the tournament. I think they have some legitimate talent there.
Yeah. I really like the Maryland team. That's why I think it was such a good win for Michigan for them to get out, you know, in the way they did. And then obviously we got the big one coming up on Sunday. So I know we wanted to do a little, you know, state of the rivalry here. And this is what we've wanted, right? Like, for so many years, and it has been this way for quite a bit or quite a long time now, but it's never been, I don't know, kind of like this. It's never shaped up to where Michigan State could meet up in the regular season finale with a chance in a Big Ten regular season title on the line. And I actually, it sucks about the news from Nick Ward, you know, broke hairline fracture. I think it is. Had surgery. He's going to be out probably at least until the Big Ten tournament. Like, that news sucks. I didn't want Jeremy Langford out either. I wanted Michigan's team at full strength versus Michigan State at full strength. Like, that would be a fantastic basketball matchup. And I'm not saying that it's not, but I like both pieces to be at full strength. But at the same time, Michigan's got to capitalize on the opportunity.
Absolutely.
In the fact that Michigan State is shorthanded.
I don't want to say that Michigan State is on the ropes or anything like that, but you have to make them feel the pain of losing one of their better players. Like, that has to be a factor. Like, it just has to be. And if you're not able to exploit that, if you're not able to protect your home court, I don't know how things are going to go in that last game of the year at East Lansing. Would I rather it be flipped around? Yeah, probably. But that's not how the schedule broke down. Right now, I think I said it. It's funny, on the show we did right before Michigan State went on its little losing streak, I actually said that it was concerning to me to see Michigan State peaking while Michigan just kind of leveled out. And Michigan hasn't really picked it up, and State has played better since that three-game losing streak. But neither of these teams right now look like teams that are national title contenders. I look up and down at Michigan State's roster. Like, they just don't have, like, I know Cassius Winston has played very well, but Xavier Simpson owns him and has taken his lunch money the last few times that these teams have played. So that right there is the matchup I'm looking for. Looking forward to watching in Sunday's game. It's going to be so freaking rowdy in there, man. Like it's been loud for games against Maryland and some of these other teams in the Big Ten, but I feel like it's going to be legitimately scary how loud it gets in Chrysler on Sunday. So Cassius Winston versus Xavier Simpson is one I'm looking forward to watching. Who's gonna have that moment? We think of the moments from over the years, you know, the Trey Burke steal on Keith Appling. We think of Derek Walton Jr. as a freshman going into East Lansing and just toying with the Spartans. Stauskas, Mo Wagner just last year, what he did to Nick Ward.
Stauskas so scoring 17 in the
Mo
second half.
Said in an interview I did with him in the fall, easily his favorite moment in college in terms of that rivalry. So who's going to have that moment? I mean, could it be a Brazdeikis? Could it be a John Teske? Is it Charles Matthews? I don't know. When I look at the two rosters, I mean, I think I like what Michigan has a little bit more. I feel pretty good about their chances in this game. But right now, you look at how both teams are playing. Michigan State's sitting at 21-5. Michigan is 23-3. Michigan State actually higher in KenPom. They're the fourth ranked team. Michigan's the sixth ranked team. So this is kind of a more than. I think the implications of this game are a little bit bigger than just Big Ten title. I think this is a contender or pretender type of game, and it will be two types of games like that coming down the stretch here.
You know, you asked who might have their moment. I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I love the fact of, like, Iggy Brazdeikis. I mean, you think of all the guys that you just mentioned, Trey Burke, Nick Stauskas, Mo Wagner. Like, those guys were confident and, let's be honest, they were cocky, I guess you could say, because I don't think cocky is a derogatory term. They were cocky. They were very confident in themselves, and they went out and they showed it. They embraced the fact that throughout the years and before they established Michigan as a solid basketball program, they embraced the fact that Michigan State was really the top dog in the state when it came to basketball. And they embraced the fact that they were wearing the maize and blue and they went in East Lansing and they wanted, you know, to make their footprint. I know Trey's thing didn't happen in East Lansing. The steal obviously happened in Ann Arbor, but Nick blowing kisses to the crowd, Mo Wagner with putting Nick Ward on his butt, you know, with the behind the back dribble, Derek Walton with the big and one. I still see Derek Walton, you know, I can still picture it after the and one looking right into the camera. I mean, those are the moments that where you make your like college career. You know, I think Iggy is cocky enough and confident enough to be the guy that can come out and do that.
You know, one moment I think we're forgetting, and I think it's, I would say the game that turned the entire Beeline era around.
Stu!
2011, Zach Novak. Yeah, Stu Douglas is three, and Zach Novak hitting six threes in that game. There's been a lot of huge moments in this rivalry, and recently at least, a lot of big moments for Michigan. But I am a competitive and SOB, right? And I want my team to win. I understand the angle of like Luke, what you said, this is what we want. These teams, you know, at the height of their powers in the top 10. I don't want that. I really don't. I want you guys to think about this. When it, like, in our lifetimes, and by that I mean like since we've been conscious, not like when we were two. I'm talking about since we've been preteen years, let's say, starting. When has there ever been a year where Michigan was good in basketball and Michigan State wasn't? There really hasn't. At the very least, they've either both been good or both been bad. I would love to have one year where I don't have to worry about them. And I find it strange that in basketball, it's looked at more this way than it is in football. Like, I don't think there was any Michigan State fan in football that was like, man, when we held them to minus 48 rushing yards, it really would have been better for the rivalry if Michigan was good. No, they wanted to win by a million. I want to win this game by a million. And it sucks for Nick Ward. It sucks for the kid. I think anyone who wishes ill will upon him or any athlete really is a scumbag. But when I heard the news, my initial reaction, you could say I'm a piece of shit, but I think it was all of our reactions, was, well, this is probably really good for Michigan. And then, of course, I was like, and I feel bad for the kid. It sucks. But I think with the way things are set up now, with the injuries, and Izzo alluded to it today, and I know that refs and fan and injuries are the two things that fans freak out about because of the two things that are not in anyone's control, really, that they can point to and say, that's why we lost. But injuries are part of the game. You have to deal with it. Sorry, boo-hoo. And Izzo even alluded to it today. Yeah, it's part of the game. And because of that, if Michigan were to lose on Saturday, or I'm sorry, on Sunday, and Nick Ward were at full health, I would come on here and I'd be like, you know what, I got to tip my cap because I guess Michigan State's just a better team. They're not a better team without Nick Ward. They're not better than Michigan. There's at their best, there's no reason Michigan shouldn't win this game by double digits. And people say that is some slight against MSU. It's not. They're missing two of their three best players. You take two of the three best players off of any team in the country, they lose most games against an elite opponent by 10. So it's obviously a game I'm fired up for, if you can't tell already. And I think it's a game that this week Michigan has to go 2-0. If they want to win anything this year, if they want to get back to even close to being where they were a season ago, they got to go 2-0. And really, I would say 2-0 fairly convincingly. Or else, yeah, maybe this team's just...
Well, I do want to say, you know, you made the comparison in football, and I think the obvious thing in football compared to basketball is a single loss in the regular season can derail an entire season. Whereas in basketball, it's not the case. Fair. That's why I like to see it. That's why I like the intensity of these matchups. But you're right. I've never really seen it to where Michigan has a really good basketball team. Michigan State is a bad basketball team in the same year. So I guess I don't know what that feeling is like, you know. So I can't say whether I would enjoy it or not because I don't know if we'll ever see that. To be quite honest with you, and if not, I'm okay with it.
You know what though? I'm not gonna sit here and dissect the state of each team and the injuries. Like, guess what? It's a rivalry game. It's at home, and there's a lot on the line. Win the goddamn game. Period. Like, that's what it boils down to. It would be that way if Michigan State was 21-5 coming into this game. It'd be that way if they're 5-21. You need to win games to win the Big Ten title. You need to get rolling here. You're at home. You haven't lost there all year. I honestly can't even remember the last time you lost there. Was it the Purdue game last year? Yeah, because I think I was there. Win the goddamn game, period. Protect your home court. Get rolling. I feel like this is a team that has kind of played to the level of its competition, and to their credit, when they've played the best teams on their schedule, they have not only played well, Villanova, North Carolina, Purdue, they absolutely destroyed them. So yeah, this could be what they need to get them going. But you know, injuries or not, I know that they're not. Michigan State won't make excuses about Izzo, it now. But if they don't win,
Tom
anything,
Izzo has an entire speech game, prepared right now start in case they it. Lose, talking about injuries. Like, he's been doing that his whole career. Like, that's nothing new. It's to be expected.
Yeah, and I have nothing against him. Like, I know there's like some of the scandal stuff from the last year or so. Like, I'm not going to go into that as a coach and what he's meant to the game of basketball in the state of Michigan. I respect the hell out of him. I think that to a certain extent, I think that the game of modern basketball or the state of college basketball today is kind of passing him by, especially, you know, Michigan State isn't really getting, they've missed on a lot of one and dones. Well, and
yeah, but this is, Duke, this is when Duke Tom Izzo's at his best though. That's, I was never scared of Tom Izzo the last 2 years when he had top recruits. Like, this is when Izzo makes his Final Four runs. Like, right. I've mentioned this many, many times.
Yes.
Like, how many NBA guys has he had on his Final Four teams? Like, is Shannon Brown the best Michigan State player to make a Final Four? Like, best NBA player, I mean. Like, is that the guy with the... Right.
Draymond.
Right, I guess, yeah.
Well, I mean, Draymond is the one.
And I mean, I guess there's, I mean, like the 99 to 01 era, they had a bunch of NBA guys. I mean, they had Jason Richardson, Morris Peterson. Like, but I'm,
right,
I know what you're,
I'm,
I know what
I'm
you're
talking
saying.
Like, that's, since,
we're talking about that's almost 20 years
say,
ago now.
Like, go back to like 2009. You know, like, who are the best players? Kalen Lucas was like some of his best players, you know, in the past decade to make a Final Four run. He, who was the squad that he made? A Final Four with 2014 with like Brian Forbes and like Travis Trice.
2015. Yeah, that team spent a large majority of the season being garbage. Like, they just weren't very good. And they made the Final Four. Yeah, no, which is why this Michigan State team worries me more than some of
like,
the other.
No question about it. Yeah, this is when Tom Izzo makes his hay. That's why they're not out of this thing. They looked like shit for a majority of that game against Ohio State and then just completely turned it on. You know, like, this is not going to be an easy game coming up on Sunday, regardless.
Right,
it don't
like
matter who's
about,
playing.
You know, they were able to flip a switch and turn it on against Ohio State. Duke was able to flip a switch and come back on the road at Louisville. Like, I felt like you were very close to seeing that in that Penn State game for Michigan, but then you get it to within five, and then a couple bad shots here, missed a blown assignment on defense there, and you're down 12 again. So it's like they're close. They are close, and like I said, I'm not discounting Michigan State. I just feel like a lot of people are kind of frustrated with Tom Izzo right now because it's been a few years since they've done anything, and John Beilein has kind of owned them lately. So I feel like this one is more important to go out and get than they have been in a while. Like, even with some of the big games they played lately.
Man, now you got me really worried, because that's exactly what we said about Michigan going into Ohio
State.
But
you know what? They're this Michigan, don't even bring those idiots into it. Like,
yeah, I know, but get
We have to. We got to talk about the spring game.
Was that your segue? Did I interrupt your segue? I'm sorry.
A little bit.
I just don't listen. Don't. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call football idiots.
It still works.
Idiots.
It still works.
You're in timeout right now. But come on, this Michigan basketball has been a little better coached than the football team is. So let's not go. Let's not quite go there. But continue. Don't let me interrupt.
Well, anyway. Yeah. And anyway, we did have that as we transitioned to football a little bit before we answer your questions that you gave us. Sounds like we've got a date and time for the spring game coming up Saturday, April 13th at 5 p.m. And that's weather pending. I don't know what it's like down there for you guys, but we've still got a shit ton of snow and more on the way. So I'm not sure it's going to be gone up here in April, but maybe in Ann Arbor.
Honestly,
anyway.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's and obviously that, you know, they announced a date. It's first of all, it still just seemed like the football season ended. And two, you know that line from Anchorman when Champ says to Ron, he's like, "When you left, the pain was so deep." It's something like that. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm like an abuse victim. Like, I'm afraid to get back into football anytime soon, just because I feel like I've seen this game so many times before. So it's gonna be like until August when I can finally be like, all right, I'm set. I'm ready for another season. I'm ready to get hurt again, as Michael Scott said. So, Yeah, obviously, I know there's a lot of people getting excited about it. But
that was,
one of the podcasts
after basketball was done. It was like, okay, yeah, we got this hole. We're going to preview the spring game. And then they canceled it because of the weather. So that never happened. Spring game, I mean, you always get your superstars out of the spring game. Like the one that always sticks out to me was, remember Freddie Canteen? Everyone thought Freddie Canteen was going to be this big time player. And didn't end up being anything.
Yeah.
Or the Brandon Peters spring game. Sticks out to me too. A lot.
I don't know. Like it's necessary to get, like, it's a necessary process for college football team. I think Michigan fans Michigan fans will usually come out like 50,000-60,000 strong for that. But they don't pack the place like Bama does or Ohio State does, especially with it being free. But I'll say this, a little bit weird on the start time, 5 o'clock on a Saturday. That's the beginning of Piano Man, by the way, 5 o'clock on a Saturday. Regular crowd shuffles in. I think it's 5 o'clock. I don't know. I'll look that up. But yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Speaking of Billy Joel, I bought a record player over the weekend. Got my hands on some old vinyl. Was made myself a drink on Saturday night and listened to The Stranger by Billy Joel. Fantastic album. But yeah.
Well, all right then. Stepping into the vinyl world. Look at you, man. What's old is new again.
Experience I've had in that world already. Whew. Like it is, I'm going to waste a lot of money on that stuff, but you go to the record store, there's used stuff for $5 or $6. Like it's a pretty, it's cheaper. You know what? I may just stop drinking. Like it's cheaper.
Oh man,
than
it's awesome.
So,
well, you don't have to stop drinking. You just buy your own booze and listen. Bar. Like but you just said, I guess you don't have to go too far.
To tie it all up. 5 o'clock on a Saturday, the spring game will be over by, I don't know, 7:30, 8 o'clock, whatever it is. It won't be that long. We'll do the media stuff, do the wrap up stuff. And then by the time that's over, probably be 8 or 9 o'clock. That's like prime time to hit the bars in downtown Ann Arbor. So it's not like a night game where you get out of the press box at 1 o'clock in the morning, or a noon game where it's like, oh, game's over at 3:30, 5 o'clock, we're out of there. What now? That's might be able to make a little evening out of that. Is all I'll say. So, yeah.
I'm kind of just hoping we see like a skeleton version of the new Gattis offense. You know what I'm saying? Like, just give me some. Give me a little taste. Just give me a little taste. Give me a little taste.
Just give me a little. Well, okay. I'll say like this. Like, I don't want to, like, obviously you don't want to see every, it's like waiting for an Avengers trailer to come out. Like, just give me enough to be excited for this thing that's 6 months away. Like, that's all I need. Just a little taste. Yeah. I don't need to see, you know, plot points or any of that. Just give me a little something, a little nugget to chew on. So yeah, we'll see. I don't feel strongly about it one way or another. I saw that, this is a tweet courtesy of the Harbaugh podcast. So they said there might be some sort of fan fest. I don't know what that's going to be all about. But hey, maybe some, I don't know. Who's to say Mason Brew doesn't have some sort of fan fest? Who's to say? I couldn't possibly comment.
I'd be down for that.
So that's really all I have to say on the spring game. I don't know if you guys,
like I said, man, I just want a little taste of the new Gattis offense. That's it. That's all I want. Well, if that's the case, should we just move on to the questions then?
Yeah, there's only a few. I did ask for a few. A little disappointed from the disappointed in the participation this time around, but we'll take what we can get. Can only worry about the people that are, you know, it's like they said in Hoosiers,
right.
My team's on the floor. So I'll just, how about we do this? I'll read them off. You guys can answer and then I'll give my take
and
read the next question. Sound good?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. This one is from Tristan Hoff, at Hoff_Tristan21. He says, I think there's a typo in here, so I'll kind of paraphrase it. He says, what do you think are realistic odds for Michigan when the NCAA tournament when the NCAA tournament comes around, how far do you think
this,
we will make
this
it?
This is a tough one, man, because Michigan, the shooting woes concern me, like, a lot. Their pace concerns me. Their defense is really good. Like, this Michigan team, like, I hate to say it, but feels like Virginia of years past. You know what I'm saying? And let's be honest, Michigan last year would have been the same way if it wasn't for Jordan Poole hitting the miracle shot against Houston. They're not making it to the second weekend. Yeah. Realistic odds, I think their ceiling is Final Four. I don't think they're going to have the offense to compete with a Duke or even a Kentucky that's looking like right now. I think those two got to be the favorite as you roll along here. But outside of that, I think Final Four is probably the ceiling for this team. But don't be surprised if they don't make it to the second weekend. I hate to say that, but it's kind of, the shooting woes are going to catch up with them at some point. I truly believe that.
I'm pretty much in complete agreement with you. I mean, there's still so much basketball left. You know, they could all of a sudden, the shooting could, you know, all of a sudden improve immensely. And they could start playing like a team that could get back to the national championship game. But yeah, I don't think it's a team that I could see getting bounced in the first round, just because I think their seed's going to be too good. And I think they're too well coached. But yeah, I would say they're a team that's capable of making the Final Four, a team that's capable of losing in the first weekend. I would say realistically, I would say anything, and a lot of it depends on who they're playing as well, but anything other than Elite Eight would be a disappointment. But realistically, I think probably in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight range would be where I would suspect they'll end up.
Yeah, my personal, I think I talked about this with Sam over the weekend when we did the little post-game spiel. I feel like my personal expectation is that this basketball team needs to play four games in the tournament.
Yeah.
Play four games. If you lose that fourth game, based on what we've seen, I think I can kind of live with that. I'd be disappointed because the Final Four is in Minnesota this year, and I have family out there. Would love an excuse to get back out there. US Bank Stadium is amazing. Like it's so cool. So I'd love to be able to get out there for that. But play four games, and I think anything from there is gravy, in my opinion. So thank you, Tristan, for that question. We'll go to our second question. We actually did have three. One of them was asking about rumors about not having a spring game. So I think the guy missed the tweet. So there's a spring game. We just talked about it. This one is from, we're going to football now. So put on your thinking caps for football. This is from U of N Football Junkie at Michigan FB23. What do you think the defensive line depth chart will look like next year? Okay, so I'm going to step in and alter this question because that's impossible to tell right now. I will ask, though, who do you guys feel like is in line to replace Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich?
I think Aiden Hutchinson, who was getting some time last year, you know, as a freshman, is right in line there. He was what, a four-star recruit coming in, four-star, right? I believe coming in. Right. Yeah, but he saw the field like as a freshman coming in. He's a big kid. What I think Rashawn Gary said, he's even like has more tools or more physically progressed than even he was when he was a freshman. So I think Aiden Hutchinson obviously is right there, who's going to step up, and then from there, Quiddy Pay obviously who had a couple of good games when he was rotated in. I think those two are the guys, and just for name alone, because I don't really know how good he is. I want to see Luigi get some time, but definitely Quiddy Pay and Aiden Hutchinson are two that are in line. And that's why I think Michigan's defensive line is going to be just fine. They're not going to be as good as a couple of, you know, the last couple of years past, but I think with Pay and Hutchinson stepping in, I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I those are pretty much two names I was going to say. I guess if I had to choose one who I think will have the bigger year, I would guess, Quiddy Pay, just because I've seen more of him. I thought he really came up, you know, came into his own the latter portion of last season. So, those are kind of the two names that come to mind right away. It's still way too early to kind of make projections. You never know who's going to step up, and that is one thing that you can kind of take away from spring games is some of the younger guys who you know, at least early on, who are kind of the projected guys that Harbaugh and staff are looking at to possibly, you know, fulfill some of those spots that they're going to lose to the NFL draft here in just a few months.
I don't disagree with any of that. I'm not worried about their defensive line or any of that. If it's one, like, give me two-star kid, three-star kid, five-star kid, I'm pretty confident that Don Brown will develop who's ever there. Whether he chooses to play more zone defense or not this year remains to be seen. I think that the defense will be just fine. I think we've all been pretty upfront that this program's trajectory pretty much hinges on how successful Josh Gattis is on the offense. And Josh Gattis, who got his first little official introduction to Michigan basketball at Chrysler over the weekend. He was operating the t-shirt cannon and it malfunctioned. So let's hope that's not a sign of things to come, so to speak. But
and I'm also really glad, you know, you go take a look, like, this just made me kind of go take a look at the roster just to see it a little bit. And they lost a lot, but I mean, when you think about it, like, they're going to even have some depth because, you know, you obviously talk about Mozzie Smith coming in being ready to play, but Carlo Kemp did a really nice job last year filling in. Michael Dwumfor, like, they're going to have some depth along this defensive line. I'm kind of makes me optimistic.
Yeah, I think there's reason to be. I mean, they're going to be right there in the mix again. Like, they're going to, whether they rip your heart out of your, you know, rip your heart out of your butt again is remains to be seen. But if anything else, I'm pretty like, they're gonna be in the mix, like, towards the end. The schedule just plays out for them that way, so we'll see what happens. I'm not quite ready to go there yet, Skip. So those are the only questions.
Hopefully next week you guys will give us more questions.
Yeah, always send them in. At Mason Brew, at Brewcast Show, at any of our Twitter @s, whatever your little heart desires.
Speaking of which, Anthony, I think we're about everything we needed to cover, right?
Yeah. Unless anyone had any final thoughts. I mean, you know, if you get me on something, we'll be here another 10 or 15 minutes. So.
Well, I was just thinking, since you were just naming, you know, a couple ads and you never quite gave them, I was thinking this was a perfect opportunity for you to tell us where we can find you on social media.
Oh, see, well, I was teeing you up. I already messed up your transition from basketball to football. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. What the hell is my Instagram again? That's going to be the name of my memoirs one day. What the hell is my Instagram again? I believe it's A.T. Broom. You'll find me, you know what my ugly ass looks like. So,
all right. You can find me on Twitter. That's at Castellani 2014. That's at C A S T E L L A N I 2014. I'm also back on Snapchat since I got my new phone. Same name as my Twitter handle. You can see my ugly mug on Instagram. That's Chris Castle 95. That's C H R I S C A S T L E 95. Give me a follow on all those platforms, and hope to see you on my feed.
And you can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. And also make sure you go and follow the Brewcast Show Twitter page at Brewcast Show. Hopefully going to be doing some tweeting for that for at least, you know, the Michigan State game, if not both Minnesota and Michigan State this week. I promise we're going to hop on that thing and continue to interact with you folks. So make sure you go follow it at Brewcast Show. Follow me on Twitter. Follow the Mason Bruce Twitter page as well. And also, everything's on Facebook, too. I know at least Mason Brew is as well. So it's been a fun show. It's rivalry week. It's state week. I understand they got Minnesota first, but it's state week, damn it. So it's been a fun show. For my co-hosts, Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani, I'm Luke Ghiardi, and can't wait to recap the week next week on Brewcast.